one chooses to walk the way of the Mandalore, you are both hunter and prey. This is the way.
This is the way.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
This is the way.
Wake up, Mandalorian.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise.
Hey, let's make the baby do the magic hand thing. Come on, baby. Do the magic hand thing.
Can I say, I'm an excellent judge of character.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes Podcast. It's time for our Mandalorian Super Special Editions. This time, we're talking to Season 2, Episode 4. It's Chapter 12, The Siege. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
This is DeLorean in a DeLorean about to talk about Mandalorian. This is DeLorean Wolfgang.
That was well done, sir. I guess you do say that word a lot, so it would make sense that you would know how to say it repeatedly.
Yeah, repeatedly, yes, for sure. Well, and this week, Trevor here is visiting me down in San Diego, so this is great. We decided to record in the DeLorean. Why not?
Why not? A review of Mandalorian in a DeLorean is pretty fantastic, I have to say.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? So. Other podcasts that review Mandalorian can't say that they've done it in a DeLorean.
No. True.
So
we're the first.
So we've got a one up on people.
All people.
Yeah, which
all
is weird because we're secondary heroes and this is the first time we've been first. It's great. Anyways, so what did we think? New episode.
About what? Oh, I forgot. about what?
The episode. What we're here.
Yes. Episode 4. Halfway through the series so far, fellas.
Oh, are we? Yes, I guess we are. Holy cow.
Now, well, the season, now when you put it into perspective like that, what do you think about the episode, knowing that we're only halfway through?
So it's fine.
To everyone listening, we're doing our spoiler-free
review
before we get into our breakdown scene by scene.
Good call. Yes. I liked the episode for a midpoint. You know, it kind of sets up that tease without me teasing anything about what that tease is. And it had a lot of
such
fun
a
action.
Tease, Prog.
I will say that the first half of the episode was a little clunky, but the second half was fantastic. So a little bit of a mixed bag, but I actually really enjoyed the episode as a whole. That was my take.
Interesting. So for me, I didn't remember any, like I finished it and I couldn't tell you one thing that happened. It's a good thing I took notes because it was like fancy, beautiful, flashing colors. Look, there's action and explosions, but I don't know if anything actually happened in the episode.
All right, DeLorean.
Myself, I really liked it, but I mean, that's because of exactly what he said. A lot of flashing colors. But the way that I looked at it as well is that it was another side mission episode, but it finally got a story going. We now have spoiler free. Okay, so yeah, hey, yes. we finally got pieces of an actual story through this episode. Like everything up to this point has, besides last week. Last week was probably the biggest step forward. This week was kind of like, I would say a tad step back to, okay, we're going to do another side mission.
Yeah, I agree. I do think that this side mission did turn into the main storyline, though. So in a way, it kind of pivoted to that. So yes and no. I don't know.
Right. No, yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But yes, it felt like a side mission because that's how they presented it, and then it turned out not to be. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a mixed bag for me. So, well, let's dive into the episode then.
I dig it. So, I'm looking at all of his notes. Yeah. This is fantastic, because I didn't take any.
I had to take notes this time, too, because like Trevor, I also forgot a lot of what happened. When I rewatched it, I'm like, oh my god, I totally forgot about this whole scene. That plot.
It was just, it's so weird when you end this show and I was like, wait, what?
What happened? Hold on.
Well, that's what I was left thinking when they were in that room and they found all the science experiments. I'm like, well, hold on. What is this now? Our whole plan is to meet Ahsoka. And now we're, like I said, we're on this side mission where all of a sudden now we've got a whole nother story that we're looking at.
We're going to talk about that. The Jedi, but...
Oh, that's true. Well, I don't look ahead that far, fellas.
But before we dive into... Yeah, that was kind of spoilery, but I
thought
we'll,
that we were already
on
in.
The spoiler
yeah, we're
part.
On.
Oh, good.
Spoiler.
Never mind.
We're
perfect.
Just not going
okay.
in order of sequence.
That's
Alex
what I meant.
Alex
went to the end of the show, and I meant to start at the beginning because I do have something to say about that later.
Wait, let me interrupt you for a second, there, Prog.
Always do. Yeah, let's start from the beginning.
Right. So at the very beginning, we get to learn that somehow Baby Yoda understands Mandalorian completely. So. And he can repair the ship. I have no idea why this sequence was included. It was the weirdest thing that all of a sudden, like, it's an adorable scene. It was that whole Baby Groot thing of don't
it's
touch
the Baby
the
Groot thing.
But it was the exact
oh,
thing.
Oh, God, yeah.
And
no, we're,
I'm
no
watching
for
it.
No, it's the Baby Groot.
Sorry. And he's like, go and get the red cable and don't touch the blue cable. And you knew he was going to get fried. Like, just get fried already. Please just do it. But the idea that he understood everything and could work in the ship, when did he pick up that knowledge?
He's an engineer. Well, okay. You didn't know that? He went to engineering school. He went to ITT Tech over the summer.
Yeah, over the summer between season one and two.
So I will say this was probably the first episode where I was like, Baby Yoda is at his peak of cuteness.
Oh, sure.
Like, everything he did was adorable. Like, that scene that you're talking about, the red and blue. I mean, that was like, yeah, I watched that and I was like, oh, this is a Baby Groot scene. But it was adorable. It worked.
Yeah, they upped the ante with Baby Yoda this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because yeah. everything he did like was adorable.
Yeah. But yeah, it seemed kind of forced. It was a weird intro that I actually forgot about until I went back and went, oh, that's right. There was that weird Baby Groot intro. Okay.
Yeah, and you knew what was going to happen. Like,
yeah.
I wish they would have zagged at some point during that whole sequence.
Yeah, like maybe he did something else with the Force or actually did it right. I don't know.
Yeah, it would have been a surprise if he did it right. I'm waiting for him to get fried. If he actually, like, the ship turns on or whatever, okay, cool.
Or
well,
maybe
and
he,
then
like,
you could have seen him do,
it.
Like, a little celebration, because he did a celebration later on in the episode, or not celebration, but he's just having a good time where his hands are up in the air and he's flying through the sky.
Actually, this whole episode is like Baby Yoda's Baby Groot. Because
yeah,
I don't want to jump ahead, but totally. He pukes up just like Baby Groot does.
Oh,
and when
my God,
celebrates
he does.
A mature.
Oh my God, the whole thing was...
So Carl Weathers just saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and he's
like,
you know what, Baby Yoda is going to do
everything. I like that baby.
It's so true. Oh my
Let's
God.
Let's do that again. I mean, I love Baby
Groot.
Wow. So,
you hate to see
it. I mean, I'd like to see it too, so I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean,
anyways,
but here's the thing. At the end of the day, it worked. It worked.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
So. But we just jumped around all over the place
right.
with that. But
we really did.
But yeah, it, like you said, if he was to, if Baby Yoda actually did fix the ship somehow, you know, even not go through the whole Baby Groot thing of screwing up everything. I don't know. I think that would have been cool to see him celebrate and then actually see Mandalorian get excited and happy about something too. Because have we seen him ever get excited or happy? If Baby Yoda was to actually do the right thing, you think he would be like, "All right, you did it." And I think that would be kind of cool to kind of see a
it would
different
be more like a dad-son
a dad-son thing. Yes.
Yeah, true. I like that. Good call. Maybe next episode.
But based on, just as an aside, your little Baby Groot thing that you put on your shoulder?
Yeah.
I went down to Downtown Disney, and they have Baby Yoda ones now. And it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Like, I told you, if they make a Baby Yoda one, I'm buying it. And I don't know who approved that.
Nice.
It is just, like, the worst plush design I've ever seen in my life.
Well, that's disappointing to hear. Okay.
He looks more like old Yoda, which is weird.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. You really have to get the, like, the chubby cheeks aspect of Baby Yoda, you know, the baby cheeks, or else it looks like Yoda.
But you got to have the eyes to actually match those cheeks, because the eyes are just as big as the cheeks.
Yeah.
And on a side note, so did you go down to Downtown Disney recently?
Not before Buena Vista Street was
there. Okay. I wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, because parking was free until they opened Buena Vista Street.
Yeah, because now it's like $10 to park, but... I want to go up there
it was
just
super
to do
packed.
Buena Vista.
Was
it really?
Well, people were posting online. There's like a line around the whole park.
No way.
That's why they have to close Disneyland. It's because people do not listen.
Never mind. I don't want to go anymore. I'll wait till.
It was deserted when we went too. There was
I'm
like
getting my zombie vaccine.
There.
Once I get my zombie vaccine, then I'll go.
All right, 2022. Here we go.
The vaccine causes the zombies, so
that's
we're not to
I
that phase
it.
Yet.
Okay, well, we just went off on a side tangent there.
We did.
Let's get back on track, fellas.
Well, one thing you can do at Downtown Disney is eat. And we got to see Mando eat because they had... This was like a response to a question nobody cared about, where he lifted his mask a little bit so he could slurp down stuff. Like, no one cared. They just said, oh, does he ever eat? They didn't have to answer that.
Well, and then, and if you notice, every time they picked it up and then put it back down, you could hear the... It's sealed back up every time. That, I don't know. That
and then Baby Yoda tried to look underneath one time, but didn't he see him last year when he took it off when he was all bloody and IG-88 was fixing him up? Or IG-11?
No, because no living creature has ever seen him, not even...
No, Yoda was not with him. No, Yoda was with Cara Dune.
Well, Yoda was dead.
It was all the same room.
Return of the Jedi, but
yeah, but everyone was gone at that point. The only person in that room was
they go down the stupid thing first. You're right.
Yeah. So Yoda has not seen the face, just the chin.
Yeah, he looked up though. He's like looking up in.
It was adorable. It was. Again, another adorable baby Yoda scene.
What does Daddy look like? another scene I forgot that happened. Yes. Okay. then we get the Cara Dune scene, right? We go to
to introduce that. Yeah, so we're back to the planet Navarro, where all season one took place, and she's the marshal now because marshal's a hot thing in season two. We get to go from planet to planet.
I noticed that too.
I didn't know marshals even existed before this season.
Mandalorian martial law. Gotta love it. That's what it is.
And so we got a lot of Panda Baba type creatures all in there, and she has to go and beat all their ass and kill all of them. And it was weird because she didn't use her weapon until the very end, and she's super exposed. Like most of the she comes in and she's protected, and then she drops all protection, and they're like, "Shit, our lasers don't work."
But it was awesome. It was awesome seeing her, be a badass in a way. You know,
I think that was.
It was just nice to see her be a badass.
Yeah, I think the point was for her to show her hand-to-hand combat. You know, like, that's kind of her character. Is the whole
I understand that, but
force.
When everybody has lasers.
I guess so. It was a small space, so I allowed it. I was like, it's fine. You pass.
They could have kept her just under more protection when they were, like... Because they were just like, we're reloading our laser blasters that don't need to reload. It was like a whole thing.
It was. They were kind of cowering behind there and, wasting their time doing that. But,
You'll see it's a recurring theme in this episode.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that aspect of it. But now there was a ferret, a space ferret that shows
right.
up.
Right. The space ferret was the hottest thing after this episode. It was like the ultimate trending thing was the space ferret.
Was it really?
Space ferret.
Yeah.
Why?
It's a cute.
Another cute thing from Mandalorian. It's another thing that Disney can sell. At Downtown Disney.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of like a taxidermy piece that came to life.
Like that's exactly what it looked like. Well, it was a taxidermy piece, right?
It must have been because it looked just like one. Like someone found like a
real
piece of taxidermy.
Well, it wasn't CGI, so I appreciate
that.
No,
I know. But I mean, it wasn't like a Muppet. It looked like somebody took an actual real life ferret and like made it into a taxidermy piece. It was weird. Cute,
and then they
I guess.
Little
weird.
Remote controlled it.
Yeah, like, all right.
Yeah, I never saw anything online about the baby or the ferret, so I'm gonna have to look that up. # Mandalorian ferret.
Yes. Alright, what's next?
I seriously thought that its head was gonna get cut off though. I was like,
I did too, I thought it was
gonna
die.
To
like, all right. Yeah, they did though. It's alright.
Nope. Gotta save the cuteness.
Yes. All right, then we get the band back together, right?
Yeah, we get the band back together, and they did exposition for a while. I totally tuned out. I couldn't tell you one thing they said. I just skipped to your Baby Yoda in school. Like, I didn't even take a note. As soon as the sequence was done, I was like, I probably should have taken a note, but I don't really care.
So this was my problem with this episode, and I mean, I get it that Carl Weathers, I don't think he's ever directed before, so you can kind of tell it was clunky. Like, it was just bizarre. I was like, hi, awkward smile. Handshake. Like, what is this? Like, it was just so weirdly paced. Like, all right, let's move on.
Well, I was kind of surprised that Mando handed over Baby Yoda so freely to Carl Weathers.
I trusted him, I guess.
Oh, at the very start? Yeah.
I was like, why would... I don't know. I didn't...
They have a rapport.
They have a rapport, but I didn't know that it was... So... whenever you see that with Amy Sedaris's character, that she's mothering, she's nurturing. This guy is just a dude who you just so happen to know. You just know what I mean? Yeah, like, it didn't make sense. What it was almost like Carl Weathers put that in there. So
I want to hold Baby Yoda.
I want to hold Baby Yoda, and I want the cameras to be rolling when I'm holding Baby Yoda.
So what happens when you direct an episode? If I direct an episode of Mandalorian, I'm carrying Baby Yoda the whole episode.
Oh, he's on my shoulder the whole time, man. He's like, yeah. Like a he's a little blaster and everything. Be great. I'd be like Groot, and he'd be like a Rocket. It'd be great. I love it.
There we go.
Yeah.
So anyways, so they get into the school.
Yeah.
They get into the, which I thought was silly anyways, because if Baby Yoda's supposed to be this infant, you're going to sit him in a class full of like 10 to 11 year olds. It didn't make sense why they would do that.
It's like a daycare.
Yeah, it wasn't daycare. Like, but it wasn't daycare. The droid was given lessons on space history.
He's like, gah.
Yeah, exactly. Let me eat those green cookies.
Here's one note that I did have about this scene, and I understand why they did it this way aesthetically, but everyone in that school were like human type creatures. They weren't like other creatures. It was all just humans, which is weird because the planet has all sorts of various different species. So why aren't those children in the same school? Did they segregate, or was it there just to make Baby Yoda stand out?
I like just the questions I have.
Yeah.
On Navarro of humans and all the other creatures.
Keep the ant monsters with the ant monsters.
Saying I didn't see anybody else in that scene. It was weird. I was like, well, I want to see what the.
I mean, it's pretty backwoods, so.
That's true. It is pretty backwards.
I mean, we saw Tatooine. They had all the problem with the sand people. So,
yep, exactly.
Star Wars. It's a long time ago, man. They're not progressive at all.
Not at all.
Glad you guys are catching on to this. Yeah, I've been seeing this racism the whole time.
Oh, the whole time. This galaxy, man. But anyway, it's funny though,
he plants Baby Yoda in the seat, and before he hands him over, he's like, wherever he goes, I go. Except last episode when you gave him to the frog people. It was such a stupid line. It's like...
And the last episode before that. Before that. Okay, I guess he's just going to give him up whenever. But anyways, we get introduced to No Kid. I don't know what his name is. The kid that says no.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because every seat was every seat's filled except for one. They had literally one seat in the entire class. Like, what if they were out of seats? Or what if there was, like, 10 seats?
It's convenient, man.
Yeah,
convenience at its best.
And then everyone appreciated the blue macarons exist in the Star Wars universe.
Macaroons,
right?
The macaroons.
Yeah.
They did look delicious.
Yeah.
And they were packaged in plastic, too.
Yeah. It looked like a roll that you would get of, like, Oreos.
Out of a vending machine. I'm like, that's kind of weird. Why wouldn't it be like a cup or something? Or I don't know.
I'll bet that Disney almost did that on purpose, so they can now start selling.
Oh, at Galaxy's Edge, they're having rolls.
Galaxy's Edge,
for sure, dude. Coming there's soon. No doubt about it. This was a easy money grab because seeing Baby Yoda throw up later on in the episode, kids are gonna be like, "Oh my God, that's the funniest thing in the world! I want to
go ride a roller coaster and throw
up some green." Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Look, Mom. Yep, so that scene. Oh, and we got the Force, finally. Baby Yoda finally uses the Force.
The first use of the Force in this season.
To get
cookies. And it was a throwaway use, yes.
Throwaway use for cookies.
He didn't say it. So remember when you're like, oh, he only uses it for, you know, when it's in danger. So he can use it whenever he wants to, obviously.
Exactly. Right.
Why didn't he just get the frog eggs like that? He obviously just does it when he wants to.
Man.
It opens up so... Once you use the Force, it creates every plot hole imaginable for previous episodes. You can't just be like, I'm using it. I'm not using it.
No, it's true. Yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't think that through, I guess.
Yeah.
All right,
hold on, but it was directed by Carl Weathers, so he finally got to do the magic hand thing.
He's like, we got to do that this episode, guys. Come on. They're like, but he's just not supposed to do it yet. Well, give him cookies. How about that? Okay. Anyway, he has his cookies now. He's happy, and now we're on to our mission, I guess.
Yeah. Then Carl Weathers gets to do the new mission as detailed, and that this is Gideon's old base, and it's here on Navarro, and this is my planet. I love that he threw out the words "my planet." So we know this little strip, there's like 10 buildings, and that's all that we've ever seen on this entire... Planets are big things, and this is my planet. It's like he owns a strip mall, and he said, I own all of the U.S., okay? I have a strip mall right here. For all of Earth, I guess, if we're doing a planet analogy.
It's mine. All of it's mine.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, well, they found an outpost.
They got to use the speeder to get to... Oh, wait. We don't even know about the base yet, do we?
No, this isn't. He introduced the base.
Okay, okay.
And so then we're going to bring the blue guy along, who's from episode one of season one, and now he's an indentured servant, and we're introducing indentured servitude into the Star Wars universe.
Navarro!
You owe 350 years. I don't know what we're doing with that idea.
God, Navarro, jeez Louise.
And he was throwing around Navarro. Well, if you do this, then I'll knock 100 years off. Or do you want 50 more years? It's like, well, hold on. You're just throwing
years
just around.
So
just
arbitrary.
Oh, just willy
and how nilly. Long does this guy live?
Seriously.
Does he live a human lifespan?
Yeah,
or
we
does
don't
he
know.
Live like 500 years?
I will
we
say
have no context.
He was the biggest disappointment in the entire episode. I hated his character. I hated everything about that guy.
It was awkward.
Yeah.
Like,
it was awkward.
It was super forced. Like, he had a line that he had to read, and then there was no timing to it, but here's a comedic line. Insert script.
Right. And it was almost like an earth saying of some size. I can't remember off the top of my head
what he said, but it was
like...
He feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy character, where, like, you have the aliens in our world versus, like, a Star Wars character saying something. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it is. It's more, like, modern-day kind of humor. It doesn't make sense for the Star Wars universe, that guy.
And that's what took me out of it whenever he was on screen. Mm-hmm. Every time he was on screen, I felt like I was being taken away from something. Because... Even whenever they were running through the hallways and they're shooting guns, he's sitting there fumbling and bumbling, going, "Ooh!"
And multiple times, I'm not going, "Oh, now I'm going." How many was there like five different times where he said, "I'm not going," and then, or "I don't want to do this," and he did it?
I guess. Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. That character just ruined this episode for me, but I loved everything else about it, so.
Yeah. Dar Dar Dinks. We'll call him that. There you go.
So was he a comedian?
Yeah.
Okay.
It said at the end he was Horatio Sanz.
Horatio Sanz? I don't even know.
He's an SNL guy.
Oh, okay. Well,
old-time SNL guy.
Gotcha. Well, then I'm not going to look it up then.
Yeah, I saw it at the end credits, and I was like, this is another instance where they covered him in blue, and so you couldn't tell
you
that
couldn't
it was
tell.
A
yeah.
person.
But the biggest difference is, for instance, like the John Leguizamo. John Leguizamo, I didn't feel anything was forced with him.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, it felt like,
I think he was in it too much.
Yes.
Like, if he was just had like one couple lines, that would have worked.
Sure.
Yes. If he was to sit at the desk and be the secretary
it, right.
for that one scene and then get him out, you know, have
sure.
his little jokey bits, get him out, then that's great. But
yeah, he didn't have to go on the quest. He didn't have to.
No,
tag
he didn't.
That's for sure.
And so we did get to the quest and we finally get. So now this is that breakpoint that Prague was talking about of two parts of the episode. So
yeah.
Now we get to it. And so we have to get into the door, and Mando uses his jetpack, and he goes up to the top thing, and he throws a stormtrooper down, and so they have the classic comedic effect of stormtroopers and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yep, they threw it
they
in.
They didn't use the sound effect,
though.
They didn't. I
oh,
made sure.
They used
sure.
one
I was
very
like,
similar. It was not
very
quite
close,
the Wilhelm.
But
it wasn't
the Wilhelm scream.
I was so excited,
I
and
pissed,
I realized
dude.
It wasn't. I was like, it's not high-pitched enough. Dang. But yes, and then we get to go up the escalator. Elevator.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we get to go up the elevator, and this is now we get to the point of stormtroopers are there for comic effect. Like, literally, they didn't do anything. Like, these were the lamest bunch of stormtroopers ever. Like, I understand there's a baseline of lameness, but
no, these
guys were Keystone Cops level bad.
Yeah.
Well, the base was supposed to be empty, too, and, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just they're lacking in their training.
It would have been more interesting if, like, the base were full of, like, I don't know, death troopers or something more intimidating, you know, rather than just some ragtag guys. Like, oh, the base is really empty. It's just these idiots, you know?
Yeah, they should have had, like, six death troopers, and one of them actually shoots Carl Weather or Cara Dune, you know?
Or somebody, yeah.
Makes it really intense.
Well, and that's the thing is, if there was that little bit of conflict, because it didn't seem like it, they were just mowing these guys down.
Yeah.
Every room that they went into, it was just another mow over of stormtroopers. I mean, there was really no conflict in that whole scene.
Well, in the whole episode, that was my main takeaway, is that there was no stakes and there was no drama to anything that happened.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're right. There wasn't. It was like, oh, all right. They're going to make it in. So they did.
But I mean, it the reveal of whatever science experiments that they're doing.
That was intriguing.
That was intriguing because now I'm sitting there going, well, what the hell's in those tubes?
Yeah, when they showed the tubes, I'm like, are we supposed to know that? Because all I could see is Shape of Water. The dude looks just like Shape of Water.
Totally.
Yeah, it does. Looks like the Shape of Water guy. I don't know what that is. But they do bring up the M word. So we know what they're attempting to do, possibly, is using the M word to
higher things. M count.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. The M
be
word?
Glad. Yeah. So the M word we're talking about is midichlorians, which is a term people hate. So instead of using that word, they choose to say M instead on the show.
Yeah.
Because they know it angers fans.
Because it rightfully angers fans because it makes it. So the idea is that from George Lucas is like, I'm such a brilliant person that I'm going to say that you have the force based on how many of these living organisms called midichlorians that are in your bloodstream.
Oh, and that's where the guy was talking about another, like, child.
Well, he's talking about a particular, about the child we know. Because he has a high M count.
Yes.
Right, but he said that they've exhausted other childs.
Yeah, but this is the particular one who is the highest they found.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, so we got recording exposition through that. Because this is the guy who had him in season one.
One, yeah.
That's right. We kind of knew. I mean, they weren't able to get any blood out of him in season.
Or no, they got. Well, they did previously, and then they wanted him back because they didn't want to kill him because he's a little tiny guy. So you can only take so much blood.
Right.
Right.
Oh. Yeah,
because the midichlorians are living organisms. So if you suck him dry, they're gonna die.
And we talked about this during season one, how we knew that they were talking about midichlorians as well back then. They just didn't use the M word back then.
And now to call it higher M count, I put it in quotes because it's so stupid. And now they're saying that Gideon is essentially overseeing a lab that's trying to turn people into force users. Like he's literally trying to inject troops or potential clones or whatever.
Actual Sith troopers or something. Yeah. That's my guess.
Now, I didn't think about that connection.
Yeah, they could be Sith
troopers.
They
are super lame in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, they didn't do anything.
They showed up.
They were dancing. We're red and we die easily.
Anyways. Well, now all this, I'm starting to think of, like, movies. This is, like, almost plots of movies that I've seen.
Probably. Yes.
Like, I just watched Gemini.
Like,
Man.
A New Hope?
Like, well, it sounds like we're doing
like
Gemini.
A New Hope.
Gemini Man.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Anyways. Gemini Man. It's a lot like that. But there is the other possibility that this may tie into how they brought the Emperor back to life. So, that could be it, too.
Are they trying to write in excuses for Rise of Skywalker? Like, I know Dave Filoni is writing in a ton of excuses for the prequels, but now we're going all the way to the sequels, too?
That's what I'm
thinking. They're putting a lot on Dave Filoni's shoulders, dude. They're like, save us.
Save us somehow.
Your only hope.
Oh my God.
We'll see.
Oh.
Save us, Dave Filoni. You're our only hope.
Yeah. Anyway. So they get the information. They got to get out of here.
Yeah. So now we got troopers and they're nothing more than Walking Dead zombies. Essentially. Oh, but there was great effects on the trooper fire. Like the blast that hit their armor and stuff. It looks great.
Sure,
we'll give them that.
The whole scene looked good.
Sorry, go ahead, Brock.
No, that was it. The scene looked good.
Yeah. Well, and they're going into this base to destroy the base. Right?
That's their goal.
It's like inside of a volcano or something like that. And so what were they trying to do? They were just trying to overload the system to where the volcano erupts inside the building?
Because Carl Weathers just wanted all Imperial stuff gone off of Navarro.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
And that's why he thought the base was empty. And then they encountered resistance, which wasn't actual resistance. But one thing, so the blue guy comes along and he makes him do everything. Like, what would the plan have been? Like, he's the one who overdoes the reactor so the lava starts going up. He's the one who hotwires the door. He's the one who gets information. Right. He did like everything. He what if everything. He didn't come? Because he said no so many times. He's like, no, I shouldn't go. Like, if he stayed in the speeder, they would have just been stuck on the base, I guess, and they never would have over. Yeah.
Oh my god!
The system.
They made him see, and that was the thing. That was like their reasoning to keeping this comedian around was because he was just going to do everything.
Yeah,
he did That's just everything. Silly.
That's silly.
That's terrible.
Well, it's because they had to have Mando separate and go back early. Because Mando probably could have done all that stuff. And I guess Cara Dune and Carl Weathers are like, nah, we can't do anything.
We got this blue guy.
We're just going to stand here.
With his what are they, his hydration suit.
Yeah.
He had to keep his hydration suit. So did you guys notice that whenever he saw Mandalorian for the first time?
All
like
that,
the steam like puffed out of him like he was...
Oh. No, I did not notice
inking
that.
Himself.
Yeah, he was like inking himself.
Inking himself like he's a squeak.
That's
sorry for all the squeaks and squirks. This is, we're inside of a DeLorean still.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, so now we got
a 40-year-old car. It makes noises.
We got to get out of here. We got to escape.
Yeah, so they do the escaping part. And so Mando does that nice landing out of the pit. And then two troopers fall down. Like, that was a nice badass sequence.
Especially the way he landed, because it was a little bit of a hobble, too. It wasn't like he did the superhero landing. He was like,
he almost did it. And yeah, he stumbled it out. Yeah,
I was like, yeah. That was funny. I enjoyed that.
The troop transport, which the troop transport showed up at the end of episode 8 last season.
Right.
And now they had it actually as almost a character in this episode, because... It's how they escape. Somehow she drives straight off the cliff with this troop transport that's barely supposed to hover like a foot off the ground. And this thing, I guess, is built like a tank. Like the biggest, baddest tank ever created in the history of Star Wars.
Well, and they made a point to whenever they got to the base, they made a point to point that out a lot and say, that thing is so bad. We need that.
He said it was worth a lot on the black market.
Oh, worth a lot in the black market, all this stuff. So it was like,
of course you knew.
They really set that thing up for success.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get the speeder bikes off the cliff, which looked amazing. It was best CGI sequences they've done, but
so much.
Then you had the super lame ones who just crash and it, it took me out of it. Like, once the two crashed just going down to the rocks, I was like, okay.
They're such idiots. I'm like, come on.
But like, I will say it was cool seeing the scout troopers again. Like, the scout troopers were my favorite part of Return of the Jedi. And seeing them again, because I love their helmets. I love what they do on the speeder bikes. I love everything about those guys.
Just to see them nice and clean, like, and that when she opened up that door and they had nothing but lined with speeder bikes, I was like... Man,
yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. We're using those. Oh, yeah. But it was really cool, too, because the way that they were. And I was talking to Jimmy right before we got in here, and he was mentioning how they made it a little more natural, where in Return of the Jedi, they just flew and just cruised around and you could zip around everywhere. Like these guys, when they're going down, they're bottoming out. They're having to put their feet down to like. Skid.
That makes sense, I guess. Okay.
It actually made it a little more realistic than just floating around on a speeder bike.
Right. It just sucks that like it blew up right away. Right away.
They didn't blow out those two. That would have been the best sequence of the show, because that was the best CGI they've done on Mandalorian so far.
It looked fantastic.
Yeah, I would have been the best. It would have been one of their like main things. They probably would have teased the show with next season or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
They might still.
But their explosion definitely reminded me of the toy. Did you guys ever have the toy of the speeder bike and you press the button on the back and it... I think you've probably mentioned it about 6 or 7 times, so...
Yeah, I went around and collected everyone I could find as a kid, yes.
Oh, dude, they're great. I love those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, anyways.
Yeah, so now we get into a trench run through a canyon because it wouldn't be Star Wars without a trench run. And we have the classic interface, the chair swivel. It's all the... stuff that we've seen
all the classics
before.
Classic New Hope, here we go.
But even listening to them bicker in the tank, listening to them bicker, it just, well, what would you rather be back here shooting? It didn't feel,
it was hard,
it was a hard dialogue,
because when Rey and Finn do it, it's a shout out, but when they're doing it, it was like more stilted than that.
Right.
Yeah. It,
yeah. She's screaming something like, oh, hey, how about you hit something back there? Well, why don't you come back here and shoot then?
Yeah.
It was like, ugh,
cringy.
A little bit. Yikes. Sorry, Carl.
But then we do get to see the base explode. And I thought lava was going to go down the trench run after him.
Yes.
And I was excited for that. And then I don't know where the lava went. It just like,
it just
done.
Who knows? No idea.
I thought it was going to fill the whole canyon.
That would have looked so rad. And then just kind of petered out right at the end, right once they're leaving it, just peters out. Oh,
something,
that would look rad.
They must have blown their CGI budget on the speeder bikes. Like, sorry. The cool speeder bikes are lava flow. They're like speeder bikes. It's when they chose to blow the speeder bikes up. It's the last budget.
Yep.
That was it. We blew our budget. Sorry, guys. But we did get TIE fighters.
We get to
see
TIEs taking off. And it's always fun seeing TIE fighters take off where they fold their wings.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that's like a new. That's kind of a newer thing. Yeah. Like you never see that in any of the older,
not the original
films, do you?
No,
not in the original and not in the prequels. That started happening. What in the was that in the Skywalker saga in the 789?
I don't know if it is.
I don't think it's in those either.
It might be a Mandalorian thing.
I think it is just a Mandalorian
when
thing.
Gideon landed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might be right.
Oh, that was so rad.
Yeah, wow. Because like in
so
Force
cool.
Awakens, the TIE fighters are just up on the wall when they steal
them. Yeah, you're right. I like this new way of doing it.
I do too.
It looks
super
cool.
It looks
it's
really
too bad they don't go like this when they fly, like a little birdie.
Yeah.
Like they may have malfunctioned. They're like, oh no. Stop.
Or just one doesn't open.
Like... Or just one? Oh, it's like flapping. Crashes in the side of the mountain. All right, being silly. Anyways, so who saves them? What happens? They're like they're not.
Well, so
doing
now
so
we
well
get to
trench.
The point where, yeah. So the TIE fighters are going down the corridor and they have them targeted and they're like, we're just not going to fire on these guys. Like we could blow them up super easy, but they have to escape. So we're just going to fly behind them through this corridor for like most of it, and then finally Carl Weathers targets one of them and gets one of them down. So there's only like three remaining. And so they still have time to fire on him. For some reason, every time Carl Weathers is targeted, it fires on. And then the TIE guy is perfectly targeted. It's beeping. And he presses the laser and it just scatters all around him. And there's explosions in the lava dirt. And I was like, is their targeting system worse?
How did they create an empire?
Well, it's weird because they're using an empire vehicle.
Right.
Their transport is an Empire vehicle. So it should have the same system.
God.
It's not like they're using some rebel targeting system.
Right?
And it's not like the tank was even going all that fast.
No, the tank got blown up. They all died in that corridor. This is just alternate reality timeline. This is Carl Weathers telling the story. That's what it is. It's like he caught a fish this big. Like they went down nothing actually happened.
There was no one at the base. Nothing.
This is his storytelling
like
after the fact.
One scientist guy is like, ah! I'll tell you everything. Okay.
I thought this place was empty.
I figured it out. This was just Carl Weathers' dream telling how it actually happened.
Oh, Carl Weathers.
You hate to see it.
What a guy. What an imagination.
It was a great storytelling.
Was.
So where are we at now? So we're the
so
tank
now,
blows up.
Yeah, so right at the end sequence, for somehow, what there's like gonna get blown up. And then, oh my God, there's firing from above, and it's actually the Razor Crest. Mando came to save the day.
Oh my God, Mandalorian.
Just like he always does, and just like ships somehow in Star Wars come to save the day at the last second. And then they did the fun thing, because Mandalorian, it's his trademark move now, where he flies up and he turns the engines off and comes back down. That's his move.
I'm okay with it, though. I like that.
It's
I enjoy watching him
thing.
Spin. It is, but I still enjoyed like the
spinning thing. Yeah, it is a Marvel thing for sure.
Yeah.
But well, they take
the
a lot from
company.
Marvel. I feel like they did. I mean the whole wrist rockets with little bullets.
Yeah.
That I think that was first season though. Never mind.
No, yeah, do you
it's
use
still
it this season?
Thing.
Yep.
Yeah. But Baby celebrates with the destruction of each time that he hits him down and they're spinning around and Baby Yoda's like, "Ooh," the whole time. And there's no drama at all.
None
not
whatsoever.
At all. You're just like watching Baby Yoda celebrate shooting down ships because Mando's a super pro at taking people out. And it's yep. So the best sequence of this, though, is that Mandalorian literally took off about the same time that they took off with the transport.
Yes.
He may be like 2 minutes ahead. And
maybe. Oh, my
he
God.
He somehow
maybe.
Flew with a jetpack all the way through the canyon, gets back to his ship, grabs Baby Yoda out of the school.
Oh my
gets
God.
Back to the ship, and the two guys that worked on the ship fix the ship, and he flies all the way back to the end of the canyon before they can leave the canyon.
Of course. The fish was this big, guys. I swear.
Unbelievable, man. Wow. Yeah, I never even really looked at it that
he
way.
He has to go pick up Baby Yoda from the school.
Kid, you gotta come with
me. We got it. I can't just go and get in the Razor Crest and go and save him. We have to have Baby Yoda from, like, he would have been perfectly
fine
in
school.
You know,
he's like, sneak in there and be like, excuse me, I gotta, my
so,
kid,
sorry,
you
know, sorry, sorry.
Yeah.
We gotta take him out of school.
Wow.
That never I'd think never about never think about Mandalorian too
See,
closely.
That's a thing, man. That's why I don't think much about these.
I try not to.
I know I'm taking notes, and I just it's
I'm
going to
take
stuff.
Notes next time too, because I want to take note of some of my favorite stuff.
Well, we're not done with the episode yet.
What?
Right?
We're not done yet.
There's more.
I thought the episode was over. And I
so
pressed pause,
I.
And it's like, there's 10 minutes to go. I'm like, how is there 10
like,
minutes
what?
Still to go? Just end.
Like, just end.
And so those X-Wing guys show up, and they have to be like, what was the story of what happened? What are you talking about? And this is where it gets
was
into
the
story
same,
theme.
Was
yeah,
this
it's
the
same,
same
X-Wing
guy?
Guys. Yeah.
Why?
Because we've seen them.
Because there's only two X-Wing guys in this entire galaxy?
Well, Carl Weathers, he said at some point, he's like, I don't know what the New Republic's trying to do with the Outer Rim. It's not like the Empire tried to do it. So.
Yeah.
They have two guys in the New Republic, and they do, though. They patrol the whole Outer Rim.
That's the
silliest that's
thing.
A big job.
and then he has to tell Cara Dune that, you know, did you, how many people did you lose on Alderaan? Like, Alderaan blew up. Who do you, everybody?
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Everybody I've ever known
everyone.
In my life.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was like the worst script I've ever heard. Like, I knew what she was going to say. I said, I lost everyone. And then she's like, I lost everyone.
Yeah, and I lost everyone with like the monotone voice that she has because she can't act.
Yeah.
But anyway.
What? Oh, I think she's great. Oh,
she's
I love
fine.
Her.
She's good at fighting.
Wrestler.
She's good at fighting. But don't ever talk. Please.
I like her.
Please.
Yeah.
I don't mind please her don't talking. Talk. She's
looking for love in Alderaan places.
Alderaan places.
And then they did hint at something big is going on. The X-Wing guy said, you know, we focused on the core worlds. They need local help, but something big is going on, which kind of acts like the First Order is rising. That's what it all hints at.
That's what it is. Yeah. Of course.
That
they figured
out
the stuff that's happening.
Just show E.T. in the background. If Filoni loves the prequels so much, they've got to show E.T. Because they're going to have to show, like, other scenes of other planets at some point.
Sure. Anyways, my thing was
going
to be,
this is good
like,
stuff,
not,
man. This is
not
good
just
stuff right now.
The rise Prague. Of the bad guys. Sorry, you're derailing me. It's not just the rise of the First Order, but also, you know, the whole army that the Emperor created, all those clone people that he created for his army, too. So they're probably hinting at that as well.
Oh. And so then we pan to Star Destroyer because it wouldn't be Star Wars if you don't have that underbelly view of a Star Destroyer. And so then
and
we get to see
because the episode's
Moff Gideon,
still happening.
And we get to pan to him looking. And this describes what was happening in the science lab, that we're looking for the asset and that. So this is the sequence that was really stupid. So they had two people working on the Razor Crest at the very start. And the one looks super sus. Like, if you played Among Us,
super
or
sus.
You'd
oh
pick
God.
Him for sure. So he's super sus. He, like,
listen
literally looks at the camera and is like, oh, I'm super suspicious. And then he goes and calls Gideon and is like, I'm super suspicious. Or he talks to the other chick.
Yes. I love that we're trying to be hip by using new lingo now.
Among Us.
Look at us, Among Us.
I still haven't played.
And then that happened.
The neighbor
kid. I haven't played it either.
Dude, the neighbor kid comes over. Hey, have you downloaded Among Us? Like, no, man. I've got a
no,
kid.
Man.
I'm busy.
No dog, sorry.
But yeah, we get the whole thing that now they have a tracking beacon on the Razor Crest, and so they can track the child all the time.
That's right, I remember this guy.
And so the one thing is that Moff Gideon,
yes,
he's Gus Fring. Gus Fring is a great bad guy. He's also in The Boys. He's a great bad guy. But for some reason, it's Moff Gideon. I do not. He's not intimidating. He's none of the things that Giancarlo Esposito usually is. It's like he's playing like this part of like goofy bad guy. It's really weird.
He should have had some kind of something like a mask or a helmet or some contraption.
Or a scar or something,
right? Like, why would he look like he does in every other show? Like, you're in Star Wars. Do something cool with him. Like, I don't know. It is kind of weird.
He just doesn't have his usual intimidating stares or monotone talk or anything.
Nothing.
He looks like a salsa dancer to me. Like, every time I see him, I'm like, this
guy's probably cape and everything, huh?
With the cape. That's he's going to do a dance off with Mando for Rights of the Child at the end.
Dance off to save the universe. Let's go.
Dance off, bro.
Oh god.
This whole season's Guardians.
We're terrible.
Alright, so what's going on in this place? Because they're building an army of something in that room. On that ship.
Didn't they just look like TIE pilots?
No, they look different. If you look closely, they are not your usual anything. They're different. Whatever.
I think this was around the point where my baby started crying.
This was the point where my eyes were rolled so back far in my head that I just didn't know what happened in this whole sequence.
Yeah, my guess is those are some kind of like elite force that we've never seen before on the show. I hope. We'll see.
Well, I mean, the Death Troopers are in Rogue One, so that's a long time ago, and they're like genetically altered clones, so that's not that new.
Right, exactly. So who knows what this is. But that's the episode, folks.
That's the episode that now Gideon knows where the child is, and he's going to follow the child. And we know that the next episode is the Jedi, and so Gideon's going to track down Ahsoka, and that's going to be fun because.
Now, do you think that Moth Gideon would trade the Darksaber for the child?
Yes.
At any point? Okay. That's my guess. I'm guessing at some point he's going to offer it to Bo-Katan and say, if you can get me the child, I'll give you the Darksaber.
Yeah, because I'm almost certain that this season is going to end where Moff Gideon has the child that Mando's going to have to do next season to get him back.
Yep.
Okay, I got to know. What's the big deal with the Darksaber?
So the Darksaber, whoever holds the Darksaber can rule Mandalore, the planet. Because it's their whole lineage of like the first Mandalorian or the first Mandalorian who took on the Jedi way back thousands of years ago had the Darksaber. And so it's just a rite of passage. It's an honor thing for the planet.
Any lightsaber can do the same thing.
The Darksaber is made by Mandalorians. It's not just a Kyber crystal thing.
Think of it as Excalibur.
Yes.
It's their Excalibur.
It has a very similar idea. And you know that Mandalorian's gonna be the one who wields it. You know that, right?
Yield it or wield it?
Wield it. He's gonna be the one who wields it.
He's gonna do a full-on wheelie with that thing.
Yeah. That's gonna be the end of the entire series. He's gonna take over Mandalore.
Well, you know what it's gonna be? He's gonna be holding on to the thing, and then all of a sudden it'll go, and then cut to black.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
But he's going to have his helmet off.
Or he's going to have it, and he's going to wave it around, and by accident, he just slices Baby Yoda in half. He's holding Baby Yoda like this.
Your ears are too big.
He chops off an ear. Oh, shoot.
Oh, man.
Lost
now we're just...
Yeah, so for me, this episode was quickly, instantly forgettable because there was no stakes at all. I like that they put in a bigger story element, and you see that Moff Gideon's chasing and is going to get the child, and you see that it's going to tie into Ahsoka. But in terms of beat by beat through this episode, I would never watch it again. I don't really care.
No, it doesn't have a rewatchability to it, except for like the scenes with like the speeder bikes and stuff. But like, then I'm not going to sit through the whole
episode. I can watch a GIF of the speeder bikes.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do you think that that's a look on what Carl Weathers had done as the director? Do you think that this is kind of a blame on him in a way? Not so much a blame, but like
I think there's problems with it because he directed it. Like, you could tell the difference between Bryce Dallas Howard's directed episode and Carl Weathers' directed episode.
It's a timing thing, the pacing of it, the way lines are delivered. Yeah, that's the director that does those things.
So, well, yeah. I'm just wondering, like, who do you think would have probably done better at this episode?
Well, I think so. I don't think Carl Weathers should have acted in the episode that he directed.
I agree with
that. That was weird, because it's like he purposely, I need to be in this shot, or I need to say these lines because I'm directing it.
I need to look like a badass here.
Yeah, it was weird. That it always seemed forced. Yeah, when he was in it.
He's like, I'm just gonna awkwardly stand here. Okay.
He does awkwardly stand a lot. He does like a little pose like this.
Oh, oh, Cindy.
Oh, that's good stuff.
I'm done with this episode.
So, I am too. That's Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 4. Looking forward to next week.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned. Be sure to follow at Secondary Heroes, because next week's episode is titled The Jedi. This is what we've been waiting for. It's written and directed by Dave Filoni. This should be the big Rebels and Clone Wars tie-in episode to Mandalorian.
We'll see. Right.
Or it could not be.
Guys,
cool. Hey, DeLorean Wolfgang actually gonna roll out.